Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipaye Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
Before we continue, so let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18-20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He said, "Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Mark chapter 16 from verses 15-20. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned, shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." So when after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Let's open again to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, we're going to be reading from verses 44. "And he said unto them, These are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, and in all Psalms concerning me. Then he opened the key their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to be raised from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of this thing. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon him. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Hallelujah. Amen. This text that we have gone through, which we now know as the Great Commission, we now see them all. In recent times, they've been called the Great Commission. But in fact, there is a summary of 40 days of teachings and instructions of Jesus to his disciples. Let's see that in Acts chapter 1, verses 3. So they are not just, you know, this was not just all that Jesus said, but I believe that this is their summarization of the points that Jesus was making in his teachings to them in the 40 days. Acts chapter 1, verses 3. He says, "To whom also is shown himself alive after his passion," that is after his death, "by many valuable proofs, being seen of them 40 days. So he stayed with them 40 days, and the Bible says, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom." So he was teaching them for 40 days. And these are the things that the disciples now, you know, put together as the what we now know as the Great Commission. They summarized the things that he taught. But one of the things we'll see is that these texts, because they are a summary of all the things that Jesus must have taught them, they form a foundation of the things that we see now in the New Testament books. And in by extension, what we now walk in and believe in. The text, they set a place for the actions, the examples, the teachings, the lifestyle, the structure of the New Testament believer. So they are foundational to what we believe today. They are foundational for us. So that means that we have to pay attention to the things that Jesus was saying. there. If there is a summary of 40 days of teaching and instruction, so that means that we have to pay attention to the words that was explained there. And I believe that there are majorly three things that Jesus was addressing there, or Jesus spoke about them. Number one is discipleship. I separated discipleship and teaching for a reason. Number one is discipleship. Number two is teaching. Number three is the coming of the Spirit. You see, he mentioned that in, that's what I'm talking about today, but I just wanted to mention it because I think it's important. In Matthew chapter 28, he says, "And behold, lo, I am with you always, to the end of the age." That's the coming of the Spirit that he was talking about there. And you see as well in Luke chapter 24, verses 49, he told them to stay in Jerusalem until he will send the promise of the Father unto them. So he was talking about the indwelling of the Spirit. He even speaks about in Mark chapter 16, I believe in 17, when it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out demons, they will, you know, speak with new tongues." All these things are possible because of the indwelling of the Spirit. So three things: number one, discipleship; number two, teaching; number three,
the coming of the Spirit.
Exactly, the coming of the Spirit, or the indwelling of the Spirit. So our job today is to pay attention and repeat to the words that Jesus was trying to pass across. So we're going to break it down a bit. Now, when Jesus says to make disciples, is the word matheteo. Pastor has told us this over and over again. It's the word matheteo, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O, matheteo, from the word matetis. It means to make disciples. When it talks about teach all nations, sorry, it means to make disciples. To make disciples, that means to make students, to make learners, to make people, to help people progressively learn the word of God so that they become mature in the word of God. So we are teaching people, you know, the scripture and the lifestyle that is required. You're helping them learn, helping them grow. That's what Jesus was telling them here. To make people students of the word of God. And that's so important to what we're doing today as the Church of Christ. Making, training people into students of the word of God. In Mark's account, it says to preach the gospel to every creature. So this is a training, a discipleship, a training that comes through the teaching of the word of God. And once we understand what it means to be a student, it's easier to, you know, to understand what Jesus is saying. And to understand the seriousness at which he was saying it. If we look at the world today, many of us, we are in school, or we are graduating from school and all of that, and we see the seriousness we take to school. You know, we are there on time, we are present in every, if we miss a class, you know, your marks get deducted. You know, you have to be there. You have to learn, you have a textbook, you have enough. That's why pastor is always asking, you have your Bibles, and where are your notes? Because that's the mindset of a student, someone that is ready to learn. We come so, because I think the problem is that many of us don't really understand the goal when it comes to the Christian. I think it's a lack of understanding. Because in the natural world, we know that if we don't go to school, we can't get a job, we will probably not be successful, you know, in the terms of the world and all of that. We know the implications of those things, but when it comes to Christ, the church, the word of God, we don't pay as much attention because we don't understand the goal. We don't understand the plan of God. We don't understand that it is the ultimate thing, the most important thing. And if we understand what Jesus means by being a student, it's like an apprentice. That's what like a disciple means. Somebody that is following carefully, following with all your heart, ready to learn, ready to receive, who understand the seriousness that is required in the study of the word of God. Like a school, you must, you know, have a place. Like Pastor would say, have a place of learning. There must be a time of learning. And there must be a teacher. There must be someone that is teaching you. In school, we have a teacher per subject. Nobody knows everything, right? We have someone that's teaching you per subject. The problem is, we bring that mindset as well to the Christendom. And then we say, you know, we want to have, there are two extremes. You want to have, you will have a place, maybe you sit down in your room, you have a time, but you want to have multiple teachers. That's a problem, number one. Number two is, you want to have a place, you want to have a time, and some people don't want any teacher, they just want the Holy Ghost to teach them the Word of God, which is wrong. You must have one teacher of the Word of God, because there's a curriculum. There are things you must know per time. There are things you must know per time. And Pastor would give this example of, you know, going to, maybe for a particular subject, maybe you're going to, you know, you want to be a doctor, and you go from school to school, from CU, you go to University of Toronto, you come to Windsor for another semester, and you're here and there, and you want to pass a particular exam in, when you go to OAU and you want to do the exam, you probably fail. Because there's no curriculum, there's no, you know, it's not consistent, it's not cohesive, it's just, it's up and down. Sorry. So that's why you need that curriculum, that discipleship, that place of learning, that time of learning. And you need a teacher. And for you to be a true student of the Word of God, one, you must be taught from scratch. You can't wake up one morning, you know, because you have maybe watched something. Oh, like, let's give an example. You want to be a doctor, and you watched Grey's Anatomy and all of that, and you're like, you're so confident. Maybe I go to the hospital one day, and I go meet a particular person that says the doctor, and I'm telling the person the symptoms, I'm sick and everything. The person says, okay, I believe you, know, we know what to do. I've watched a few videos, I've read a few articles, I can cut you open here and do this. Right there and then, you run away because the person has not been trained. And it's that same mindset that we must take with the Word. You can't just wake up one day and start, you know, you can't, as a believer, you can't just jump from one place to another. You have to be taught from the scratch. Everything you know about the faith, because we have come from the world. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we followed after the world of the flesh. In Ephesians chapter 2. Let me quickly. Ephesians chapter 2. It says, and we were dead in our trespassings and sins, in which we once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of the disobedience. So this is how we were before. And now we've come into the faith. That means that we have come into a new life. The Bible calls it a new life in Christ. So we are new creatures. So that means that the things that we need to learn, we need to start learning them over and over again. You can't assume because you've seen your parents pray, you know how to pray. Because that's the problem we have, especially if you grew up like some Nigerian is very religious. You've seen people pray, maybe your parents forced you to church and all of that. And because of that experience, when you become a believer, you think you know what to do. But you don't. Because there are new sorts of cultures. It's like a child or a slave or a king who was once a slave. When he becomes a king, he has to now begin to imbibe new cultures, new ideologies. He has to be a renewing of the mind, a change of ideologies. So he doesn't begin to live like a slave when he is a king. So things must be taught from the scratch. Number two is, you must be taught everything about the subject. Everything. There must be no assumptions. No assumptions whatsoever. We see examples like that in scripture, where Jesus taught them everything. Paul would teach us time and time again everything we need to know about salvation, the doctrine of Christ, everything. So we need to learn everything about it. This is what the kind of training that Jesus expected of us, or expects of us. And that's why you hear time and time again that, you know, the Christian faith is a taught faith. Because, so that means that if you truly want to grow, if you want to have revelation knowledge, just like Paul prays, you must have the attitude of a learner. You must be ready to learn at all times. You must be a humble learner of the word of God. That must be your disposition every time. Because if Jesus says that discipleship is by teaching, that means that we must all be students. We must all be students if we want to be true disciples of the word of God. And it's Jesus speaking here. It's Jesus telling us that to make disciples, you must teach the word of God. You must teach the word of God. And to teach the word of God, you must have students of the word of God. The knowledge of the word of God doesn't come by impartation. You must be able to endure sound doctrine. You must be ready always to sit under the teaching of the word of God, eager to learn. Let's open our Bible to Acts chapter 17, verses 11. Acts 17, 11. The Bible says that these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and sought the scriptures daily to find whether these things were so. So this was scripture was actually talking about the Bereans. You know, nowadays we call them the Berean Christians, but they were not really Christians when Paul was preaching to them, because the Bible says that they were noble men, noble as in they had status in the community. So they were noble men that searched the scriptures. So what they did was they heard what Paul said. They were ready to learn, but they always went back to search and check, is what he's saying correct or not? So if what he said was correct, then they believe. But if it's wrong, don't know whether they believed or not. You know, so it's not as if they were Christians yet, but the lesson we should learn from there is the fact that they were ready. All readiness of mind. Readiness of mind. That word means willingness to hear. They had willingness to hear the word of God. And that's the attitude we should always have. I'm going forward with this. Like I said, I'm just laying certain foundations today before we go into the main thing as we progress. So we must be like Mary, for example. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her." Hallelujah. So, like many times when we come to church, we're not as ready to absorb the things, you know, the word of God as eager as we should. We need to take the hearts of Mary in this scripture. Like Martha, many times we're so, you know, distracted by the service, setting up, doing everything, you know, ushering, and I've heard many stories about, you know, people telling me about maybe somebody, the person is supposed to be listening to the word of God, and all the person wants to do is speak what seat you are sitting in. So the person is so distracted by where somebody is sitting that even in worship, she's fighting with the people. She's an usher. She's fighting with the people, you know, and saying, let us sit there now, let us do, because you're so encumbered with every other thing but the major thing. When we come to church, we bless the Lord for the, you know, prayer to serve. But when we come to church, it's for the word. And that's what Jesus was telling Martha there. He said that Mary has sat at his feet, and that was the most important thing. He said she has chosen that good path that will not be taken away from her. And to sit at his feet, Pastor explained it to us, it means to be discipled. Paul was speaking in Acts chapter 22, verses 3, and he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's laws. So he was saying that how he sat at the feet of Gamaliel is to be taught according to the strictness of our father's laws. So he needs to be taught the word of God. So it's not that, you know, we have this song, I want to sit at your feet. We used to sing the ones in university. In back up, who will now be crying? You know, see, forgotten. But there's this picture of me sitting at the feet of Jesus, you know, putting my head on his knee, and you know, all of that. But that's not what, that's not the point. That's not the point. It's about being taught. So she was listening to the words that Jesus was saying. That means the minute Jesus entered the house, that was the first thing on her mind. She had that eagerness, that willingness to hear. That willingness to hear. That attitude of a learner. Always ready, always eager to hear the word of God. Always eager to hear the word of God. That's the heart we should have. Because it's the knowledge of the word of God that makes us effective. It's the knowledge of the word. It's the knowledge of the word. That's the most important thing. So your heart should be in learning what God's plan is, learning what Jesus did for you, why it was accrued to you, why is it even important for you at all to learn. Hallelujah. So, you know, the book of Acts tells us that in Acts chapter 2, I believe maybe verses 45 or 46, the Bible says that they were, you know, hearing the word of God daily, fellowshipping together daily, every day. There was a point in Acts chapter, I think 19 or 20, probably 19, when Paul went to Ephesus, the Bible says that he taught them and instructed them for 3 years, I think 3 years and a few months, that he stayed with them every day. We don't have, in our own time, we just have, or we just schedule about, at most, or at least some people even try twice a week. Like, we have twice a week. People online have, the online community, they are hearing the word of God like every day. But here, we are doing this twice a week. And the Bible says that they spend time every day. We don't have as much time in the world as they have. We, and the problem is that we don't value it as much. They spend every day teaching the word of God. Paul was teaching, I'm sure it was long teachings, because for Paul to say that somebody slept in his sermon and died and had to raise the person up, yes, that's the person and died, and he had to raise him up from the dead. That means that he had long hours and sessions of teachings. We are now doing at most 3 hours in a week. He said that we have a long way to go. That's why we have to be so eager. The opportunities we have, we must take them seriously to learn the word of God. Because there is a way that things are laid out by God's word. There's a way we're supposed to live our lives. And if we're taught properly, we'll be able to practice the faith properly. Pastor will say, good theology will lead to good praxeology. Good praxeology will lead to doxology. Theology is the study of God. We need to the practice of the faith, the proper practice of the faith. So if you are taught correctly, you will know what to do. You will know how to live in this new life. You will know what to do. You know how to live, how to pray, how to conduct yourself in service, how to conduct yourself amongst believers, unbelievers. You will know what to do. It's because you have been taught properly. And this cannot be emphasized enough. Because like I said before, the way things are laid out, God has a standard for everything. And if you must learn, you know, you must be ready to take the position of learners and forfeit all the things that we know before. We must be ready to stick to the script, to be indoctrinated by the word of God, to be changed by the word of God, to take the heart, the attitude of a learner. And that teaching, the teaching of the word of God, comes in both, you know, instruction and explanation. The word teaching there is the word didasko, which means to teach, to indoctrinate. Didasko is D-I-D-A-S-K-O. Means to teach, to indoctrinate, to impart. To impart and impart knowledge. And that knowledge, or you know, that teaching will be both an explanation and an instruction. Both an explanation and an instruction. So this is what makes a believer effective, the teaching and the training in the word of God. Because once people are properly taught, they will not practice in error. They will not practice in error. And let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. This is the reason why we have, you know, services. We have local assemblies. We have local church. Thank you, Tom. Local churches. We have pastors. For our growth, for our learning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He said, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So you are giving a pastor, a prophet, a teacher, you know, an apostle, by the grace of God, to help you grow. That's their job, for your purpose and joy in the faith. For as you become mature in the faith, and their job is to make sure they rightly divide the word of truth to you, so that you yourself will be a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you yourself will be a laborer. You yourself will become a minister that is able to teach others. And this is why the teaching of the word of God is important. The accurate teaching of the word of God. Every time Paul prayed for the church, he prayed for revelation knowledge. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17, he says, or verses 16, that we read earlier, he says that I give thanks for you, making mention of my prayer that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, will grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The word there is epignosis, accurate knowledge of him. It says, when he was speaking to Philemon, you know, in Philemon chapter verse 6, he says that the communication of your faith is made effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is you in Christ Jesus. That word acknowledging there is the word epignosis again, which means the accurate, to have accurate understanding of the word. So it's important, the teaching of the word is so important. It's so important to us. You know, a man of God that I also once said something, He said the greatest testimony of the believer in the earth is that he is walking in the plan of God. He's following God and pursuing what God pursues, not necessarily results. And this comes by the correct teaching of the Word of God. Because as you learn about God, you learn the correct view of who He is and what He wants. So you'll be able to pursue His plan if you are taught properly. You'll be able to walk properly. You are taught properly. And that's why today we're going to be going through this series on walking circumspectly. Because you cannot practice the faith well if you are not taught well. You can't. And that's why people come to church and bring certain ideologies that is not of God. You see some very bad behaviors, in church. We're worshipping, and the next thing you're doing is your phone is off, you're recording everybody. And I think it's a lack of understanding that brings about those kind of practices. So because in the name of phone, we bring certain things into the church that should not be there. That should not be there. Some people, because they don't understand God's desire for them in the earth, what it means to walk, what the work of sanctification is in their lives and all of that. You see people saying sanctified but some things that you should not be found in the life of the believer. And that's because they're not taught properly or they are not proper learners of the Word of God. So it's either you're not taking the word that you are being taught, or you're not being taught well. You're not being taught well. Because it's the way that a believer must walk. I mean, W-A-L-K. That you must walk. So these teachings that I'll be, this set of teachings I'll just be going through, and just majorly just be emphasizing and to some degree just elaborate some of the things that Pastor has taught us this year, some of the instructive teachings of Pastor this year and last year. So I'll just be refining a few things, but you hear exactly the same things that Pastor has taught us over time. So today is just to lay some emphasis, but I'll just emphasize what it means to walk circumspectly, then we pray, and then we close. Hallelujah. I hope we're learning. Hallelujah. So the word walks, or the phrase walking circumspectly, was brought from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 from verses 14 to 16. It says, wherefore, see, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. First of all, Paul here is speaking to a church. He's not speaking to unbelievers. So the fact that he's saying they should awake from their sleep, he's not saying that awake into the newness of life. He's talking, if you read the context, he's speaking to their conduct as believers. He says, awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. He said, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See that you walk circumspectly. There's a way that you must walk as a believer. There's a way you must conduct yourself as a believer. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are evil. So there is a way that a believer would walk that you would know that is conscious of the fact that the days are evil. There's a way you would walk knowing that is in the light. There's a way that you would walk that is redeeming the time. There's a way that a believer would walk. I can explain walking circumspectly this way. I don't know what they call it. This thing where they have this road. Maybe just one or two. And people are walking the road. Huh? Kind of like the circus. Yeah. But some people do it for fun. Tightrope. Exactly. So the one end is at one hill or mountain or wherever. And there's another one. And then you have to walk from one place, from this point to that point on a rope. You know that all your steps will be calculated. You'll be very careful. Every movement will be carefully taken. Every step will be thoughtfully taken. So it's the same, that's the mindset of walking circumspectly. You are very observant, very focused, you know, very present. Your mind is not somewhere else. You are walking so that you will not die. So you are taking every step carefully. That's what it means to walk circumspectly. And in that verse, Paul says, he says, see that you walk circumspectly. That means he's calling your attention. That word see there in the Greek, it means to observe, to be watchful, to pay attention, like take heed. It's kind of like pulling your hair and saying, take heed that you walk circumspectly. See that you walk circumspectly. Be watchful, observant. That you walk circumspectly. There's a way to walk as the believer. You can't just act like the world. Like we said before, there's a way that the world already operates. That is different from our world as it is, as Christians. There's a way the world operates. And Jesus gave, or I'll give an example in when Jesus was speaking to his disciples. I always use this example. And Jesus was telling his disciples in Matthew, I believe. And Jesus was telling them, the disciples were saying, who's going to be the greatest? They want to be the greatest. You know, let me sit at your right hand and all of that. And Jesus said, he would, you know, be the greatest in the kingdom must be a servant. And that ideology is foreign to the world. Because if you're in a position of, you know, or if you're in a high position, a governor, a king, or whatever you are, there's an ideology of selfishness and, you know, oppression. You want to rule a particular way. The small example, I gave the same example last week when I was teaching the online community. Me, as a secondary school student, I went to boarding house. So I waited for when I was going to get SS3. Because no one thing was, they finished punching us. They punish you, beat you, everything. So to save them, I endured quite a lot in school. You know, I tried to be, I was a very good girl. I'm always very serious. I didn't go for trouble, except in like GS1. I put Gary inside somebody's eyes. But, you know, you're just waiting for the time when you'll be given small power. And by the time I got to SS3, I was the sports prefect. I say, I just go to the door of the dorm. We're done with our siesta. You know, we used to sleep for, I think, an hour or so. And then we're done. Then it's time for sports. I will dress up. I'll get to the door. I'll just hit the door. I'm leaving the hall. And then people, what did you want to start? You start moving. You start crying. So, don't get caught. Once I get to the ground before anybody, the best of punishment, you just as I step down to the ground there, everyone behind me just kneel down, raise up your hand. I don't want to say the guy, I want to kneel down, raise up your hand. I said, probably throughout the sporting time, nobody wants self punishment. So I'm just standing running, because I'm one of the best runners in my school to that time. And that's just an example of little power, small. Small power, and you see the selfishness of man there, the fact that you want to flex that you have some authority. But Jesus said in the kingdom of God is about servanthood. To be a leader, you must be a servant. So the ideologies we have in the world are different from the ones that we have in Christ. And a popular Bible teacher will say that, you know, the ideology we have is kind of upside down to in respect to what the world believes, because we're not seeing the same things at all. So that's why it is important for us to understand how we must conduct ourselves. Because the word walk there is the word peripatao in the Greek. It means, literally, it means to walk around, you know, to walk around. But also it means to conduct yourself. The word circumspectly, it refers to a high accuracy, to be exact. That's why I said you need to be taught the word of God. Because if you must walk exactly according to the pattern and the standard of God, you must know what the word of God says. You must know what the word of God says. So, like you're walking on that tight rope, you're taking, you know, paying attention, being very observant, taking every step with your mind, your presence, your thoughtful. It's the same mindset. There must be high accuracy in every step. You can't overemphasize, you know, one step over the other. There just has to be a way you do it. There's a method to it. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's the same thing with the faith. There's a pattern. There's a method. And we must know what that method is. We must know what that pattern is. The Bible says, when Paul was speaking in Colossians chapter 1, he says that we should come less of it, so that chapter 1, I read it earlier, verses 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So you see why he's saying to be filled with knowledge here. In verse 10, he says, so as to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. He says, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. So he's saying, the reason why I want you to grow in the knowledge of God is because I want you to walk worthy of the Lord. Worthy of the Lord. For fully pleasing in every good work, abounding in the knowledge of God. And that's why Paul will tell them, you know, tell the church that he labors for them in both pains, that Christ be formed in them. Because there's a way for us to walk. That word formed necessarily, it refers to, it just means, I'll just simplify it, it means that you live out what is already at work in you, in the new man. That is, you are embodying Christ, that Christ-like nature. You are embodying it. You are embodying it. That's why he's laboring. That's why he's teaching. That's why he's staying with them. So Christ be formed in them. So that he can walk properly the way God intended or intends for us to do life. Because, you know, there is a way God has set things. There are patterns to it. There are patterns to it. And we must understand it. There's a way of life for the believer. There's a way of life for the believer. And, you know, this, as we go on in, you know, the teaching of the Word of God, we're going to talk about certain areas that we need to work on, as in work, I think, W-O-R-K. To walk on so that we can walk circumspectly. Certain areas, we're going to be talking about our devotion, we're going to be talking about, you know, like I said, I'm just emphasizing certain things because I think that we need it as we go into, you know, the new year. As we go also into this time when we're going to be evangelizing a lot, you know, we need to emphasize these things in our lives. Our devotion, that includes our prayer life, you know, our depth in the Word of God. We're going to be talking about the supernatural, contending for the supernatural. You know, how to live supernaturally every day. You know, Pastor has already taught us that we are born of the Spirit. So how do that really make it an effect in our lives every day? How do you engage the supernatural in evangelism? You need it. We need it. Because I was thinking about it a few days ago, but I think Pastor said something today about the fact that having evidence of both power and knowledge. Because you don't want to just it's good though, that we know all these things, you know, we're able to say, oh, Jesus died for you and everything. But once I say, the one that is sick, healed in Jesus' name, and then she calls and your attention is wrapped. So we must know how to engage the supernatural as well. We're going to be talking about service, we're going to be talking about evangelism, like I said, in this time, because they are important for us to do the will of God. To do the will of God. What we have come to learn when we come to church is to learn Christ. It's to learn Christ. Paul was talking to the church in Ephesus. He was correcting their conduct. And he said in verse 20, in chapter 4, verse 20, he said, you have not so learned Christ. You have not so learned Christ. So there's a way. There's an understanding of the word of God, of the things of the Spirit that we're supposed to have so that we can walk properly as believers. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're just going to spend some time and we'll just pray right now as we close the service. I mean, we'll just pray for ourselves. We'll just pray for ourselves. There's a song that says, the knowledge of your word makes me effective. It makes me effective. The knowledge of your word makes me effective. The knowledge of your word, you know, it puts in me a desire to love you more and to serve you all of my days. So I'm just going to pray for ourselves that as we learn the word of God, as we go deep into the word of God every day, studying the word of God, that it builds in us a heart for the word of God. It makes us effective. It makes us effective. That we are able to practice the word properly in the name of the Lord Jesus. And our lives show for it. Our lives show for it. It shows in every action. It shows in every word, in every thought in the name of the Lord Jesus.